Welcome to our podcast this Friday evening. God bless you for being here with us. I'm Pastor Dan DeLayne here at the City on the Hill Church Studio. As you know, our family has been blessed with lots of babies. Praise God. And recently we've had our newest addition, baby Nathaniel Aram Lalayan, has been born in the past week. And we're so grateful to the Lord. He was 7.5 pounds and 21 inches and just perfect in every way. But because of all the baby stuff and everything going on, it's just me on camera tonight. We're still have a lot of, as you know, with newborns, there's a lot of new things. And considering that baby Aram has three other brothers and sisters, there's just a lot of adjusting going on. So for this first week, I'm here alone. And but I believe God's put something on my heart to talk to you about. Let me just start by saying this. We're so grateful to the Lord for what he is speaking and doing here. This past Wednesday night, a couple of evenings ago, God put a word on my heart that I encourage you to go and listen to. I don't know if you've already watched it or not, but God already gave me, he gave me a powerful word. And as a part of that word, I said, you know, we forget so easily everything that God has done in this heritage, all the way up to the current day. We forget so easily. And I said, there's nothing normal about what God is doing here. Nothing. There's nothing ordinary about what God is doing here. And if you're a part of what God is doing here, you need to be excited about what the days ahead are going to bring. If you're not, I encourage you, come get in the ark. That's what God spoke, what we're calling it. Come get in the ark, because at some point God's going to close the doors because of what's going to be coming ahead. But God's given us this ark of protection, and I encourage you, come and join us in this prophetic people to see what God is doing. But let me get into the word of God. I want to read to you just a few verses of scripture from Matthew chapter 11. And in Matthew chapter 11, and I want to begin in verse 11, it says, "Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there's not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." And let me just stop there and just say this to you. You know, sometimes we read scripture and we take it and we kind of say, okay, that scripture, it's a scripture. I believe the scripture. I appreciate the scripture. But we don't understand that so many times when things are said in scripture, it's not just this localized words that were said 2,000 years ago. It is a principle to live every part of our lives by. It is something to throw all of your life up against and to measure your life up against to see if you're actually living out those words. And when Jesus said this, he's talking about John the Baptist. And the understanding, and I don't have time to get into it now, but the understanding is that before the Lord comes is John the Baptist. And that happened is the spirit of Elijah. John the Baptist brought the spirit of Elijah, as we're reading here. He brought the spirit of Elijah. And at some point, the spirit of Elijah is going to be brought again to bring our Lord and Savior back. If you've been listening to us at all here at the City on the Hill, you know that our purpose, our goal, our life is surrendered to bring back our Lord and Savior. That's why we're here. That we have set it as our purpose, not just to think about our Lord and Savior returning, but to actually do what it takes so that he can return. To actually live out what the Apostle Peter said when he said, looking for and hastening, making it happen. That's what our goal is. And I've said in many messages over and over and over and over again, I've ministered scriptures that show that God is looking for a people, a remnant people that are going to bring back our Lord and Savior. And so here we see a principle in this scripture that we just read, a principle laid out by our Lord and Savior, where he said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. That is a principle in God's word. And it doesn't just extend to one local little event here. That's a principle. That is a principle in God's word, and it extends all the way to nothing less than our Lord and Savior coming back. That God is looking for a people that understand the violent nature of the kingdom of heaven. I've tried to explain the violent nature by using the birthing process, which we just had here. Our producer Nat is the one. He's the father of our newest child in our family, and there's a violent nature to giving birth. There's nothing, you know. I always jokingly say there's nothing pretty about it. It's a violent, violent ordeal that happens when you give birth. But number one, God made a way for us to do it. He made a way for our bodies to recover from it. And he said, if you go through this violent ordeal, you're going to bring forth life. You're going to bring forth the miracle of life. You're going to bring forth a new person into being. And it is glorious in that God made this way to bring life, but it's violent. Giving birth is a violent thing. There's a lot of screaming, a lot of yelling, a lot of hitting the bed, all of that. And I relate that back to what we just read. He said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it. They take it by force. And God is looking for that group of people that understand that scripture, that remnant people, that they're not satisfied. They're not satisfied waiting for Jesus to come back. I've said many, many, many times, and you'll have to forgive me for not going into the scriptures as I have at other times, but they're there for you to go and look at and watch, if you so please. But I've said many, many times on different occasions that if you go and read, the Word of God, go read the writings of the apostles in the Word of God, go read the book of Revelation, where at the very first chapter it says these things are near. It's near. You go and read these things, you understand that they all thought that Jesus was either about to come back, or that at the very least, the church could bring him back. That was their understanding. You can't help but get that understanding. And the next question would be, well, if they thought that Jesus was about to come back, or they thought at the very least that they could bring him back, then does that mean that they were wrong? Does that mean that they were wrong about things? Does that mean that they didn't have understanding? No, they had the exact correct understanding that Jesus, if he found a people that was working to bring him back, then yes, he would actually bring them back, or he would actually, the Father would send him back. They weren't wrong, they were right. We're talking about the Apostle Paul, who was lifted to the third heaven. We're talking about John, who had this great revelation. We're talking about Peter, who was over the church, who Jesus himself placed over the church at that time. These people were not wrong. It's not just that they had just some lame expectation. No, they believed that Jesus was coming back, because they had it in their heart. Well, we're going to do what it takes. And the devil got involved, and all of a sudden, over the centuries, was put this idea in the church world. It was placed in the church world that God has this set time, and until that set time, nothing could happen. And they used the scripture. They say, well, no one knows that day, that hour, except the Father. And that's true. He's God. He knows everything. Of course no one knows except, of course. But do you know why only the Father knows? Only the Father knows because he's the only one that's God. And because the time hasn't been set yet. The time is going to be when God finds a people that are ready to bring him back. And the devil has done a bang-up job over the last 2,000 years of letting the church do anything they want to do, pretty much. But he's convinced them not to bring back Jesus, because that's the one thing that spells the end for the devil. And at this little church, this little heritage that God has chosen, we've made a decision that we're going to bring back our Lord and Savior with our brothers and our sisters around the world that are part of the remnant. And if you want to be a part of that, then I encourage you to come. Come be a part of it. Let me get back to the scripture, though. It says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violent. The violent take it by force. That is a principle that those that want something to happen, they have to go and they have to make it happen. They have to make it happen. Let's read on. Verse 13. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John, and if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned for you and you did not lament. That word lament literally means beat your breast. That's what they would do in Bible times. They would, when there was something they were mourning about, something they were grieving, they would literally beat their breast. And the Word of God, this so speaks to me every time I read it, because it so talks to what the church is right now. And I've spoken about how there's a dull spirit. And again, I can't go into the scriptures all of it for this occasion, but there's a dull spirit in the church. I was reading some writings by A.W. Tozier, who I'm sure many of you know who I'm talking about, and he was, I don't know if he actually called it that, but he was talking about the dull spirit in the church, and he wrote this 70 years ago. It has only grown and gotten much, much worse as the decades have gone by, and he was talking about the dull spirit where the church, where people that they just take things for granted. They just take it. And he said what it's leading to is churches filled with people that aren't actually going to go to heaven. And we've seen that even more so in today's society. And Jesus said, he said, this is what this generation, this is what it's like. He said, it's like there's the heavenly voice is calling out to you. It's calling out. It's saying, when are you going to bring back Jesus? When are you going to bring him back? And he related it to someone playing the flute. And he said, but you refuse to dance. He related it to someone who was mourning or was trying to get people to understand that it was time to mourn. But he said, no one beat their breast. No one beat their breast. And that's exactly what's going on in the church world today. The church world gets excited about things they shouldn't get excited about. The church world mourns about things they shouldn't give a hill of beans about. But when the heavenly voice calls out and says, "We're playing the flute," the church sits still and is dull and dead. When the church, when the voice of heaven cries out and says, "There should be mourning," what does the church do? The church sits there instead of beating their breast and saying, "God, we get it, God. We get it, God. We understand." There's no one doing that. But I'm telling you, we're going to do that here at the City on the Hill. We're going to do it. I mentioned recently in a message something that my dad used to say that I quote from him, where he said, "You have to make God feel what you're thinking. It's not good enough to sit there and think to yourself, boy, Jesus is going to come back one day. You have to make God feel it, that you desire it and that you want it more than anything else, and that you're willing to prepare and do whatever it takes to bring Jesus back. You got to make God feel it. You have to dance when the flute is played. You have to mourn and you have to beat your breast." You say, "But Pastor, that doesn't sound like a happy way to be." But here's the thing, it's the happiest way to be. It's the only way to be truly happy, because it's what pleases God. And you cannot please God. You cannot be happy, unless you please God. You can't. It's impossible to be truly fulfilled. And that is why Christians fall away. By the millions are falling away. I said two nights ago in our Wednesday night service, I talked about a statistic that someone sent me, that 77% of new Muslim converts were at one time considered to be Christian. They were Christian people. That they're leaving Christianity and going to be to become Muslim. And I said on Wednesday night, if it's one person, it's too much. To think that 77% of their converts come from being Christians. But you see, that's why I say there's a dull spirit in the church. There's a dull spirit. There is no true. There's a lot of songs. There's a lot of emotion about the spirit of Elijah, but there's no true spirit of Elijah. There's no one that says, "We're going to bring Jesus back. We're going to, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." There's no one willing to stand up and do that. And I'm telling you, it's not always going to look pretty, just like giving birth. It's not always going to be comfortable, but it is always going to please God. And there's that people that God, I believe he's raising up in the world right now. Not a lot. Not a lot. Jesus said, there are few who find it. So if you're getting that spiritual itch as I talk, then you'd better say, "God, I want to run after it. I want to heed what this man of God is saying, and I want to run after it." Because the Bible says there are few who find it. There are few who find it. But there's that group of people, that remnant group. Remember, that's what these podcasts are about, to get the word out to the remnant. There's that remnant group of people that are finally saying, "God, we hear the flute. We hear the flute, and we're ready to dance. We hear the cry coming from heaven, and we're ready to mourn." Again, I encourage you, go listen to my Wednesday night message from our service, because I talked about things that relate to this podcast, and I said it's so sad because the church is actually sending people to hell. When 77% of the Muslim converts are coming from Christianity, that means the church is literally sending them to hell. And the reason is why? Because they don't understand the violent take it by force. They don't understand. They don't understand that God is looking for a people that when they hear that cry, they say, "God, we'll beat our breast. We'll beat our breast." You know, God isn't looking for help. He's not looking for help. But he is looking for people to surrender. He is looking for people to exalt him. He is looking for people that are holy. Because as Hebrews 12 says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Let me repeat that one more time. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And people say, well, Christ died to give me, to make me righteous. He did. He did. But that's not what the scripture says. It says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And we read in that scripture about a man by the name of Esau. Esau was a part of a holy family. He was a part of a godly family. He was a part of the chosen family. But he chose the stew, the bowl of soup. He chose that rather than holiness. And so I say to you, don't take anything for granted. A.W. Tozier talked about it. Don't take anything for granted. Don't do it. Say, God, I'm going to violently take it by force. God, I'm going to beat my breast. God, I'm going to do it. And I encourage you, come join this remnant people. I pray to God that there are remnant arcs on other parts of this planet. But I know for a fact this is a remnant ark. Come join us here. I hope to see you soon. We're here Sunday mornings at 11. We start every Sunday service with communion. Come and get there right at 11 and join us for communion at the altar. Then we have Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. And then, of course, all the times you can look online and see us, join us. But I encourage you to come visit us very soon. You need to come see and be a part of this remnant people. I love you. God bless you. We'll see you next time.